are people in this room who you can learn something from. And they can learn something from you about money. Really. Even if you have a sense, but wait, I'm thinking more about what I don't know about money. So that involves some courage to speak up, which is what we're about. So I'm Sharon Cox. I'm a money coach for women. There are chairs up here. Oh, right.
Hello. Hello. There you go. Yikes. Is that too loud? No. Okay, thank you. So so negotiation is a big thing for all of us. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight and in many different regards. So
let's give you an idea of what's going to happen between now and 7:15. We're going to put some things on this. We want your input about what gets in the way when we don't have courageous conversations about money. And then Daisy and I have some guidelines that we're going to share with you. And then you're going to break up in small groups, we think maybe of three, Daisy. Mm-hmm. And you'll have a chance to actually practice having that experience, either around strengthening your personal relationships or around money and negotiations. And so you'll have a choice of those two. So that's what we'll be doing. And at the end, there'll be time for debriefing and Q&A if we sort of move right along, and I'm sure we will. And when you walk out the door, what we want you to take with you is some of the courage that we think is going to be unleashed here tonight, so that your economic lives are going to be improved and you're going to strengthen your personal relationships. That's what we want to happen. And so shall we just do it? I mean, yeah, let's.
So you're all here for a reason, right? Something may have had you feel uncomfortable about asking for what you want or speaking about what's important to you regarding money. So what's it like for you when you need to negotiate? Maybe it's negotiating your rates. I know there are many freelancers or contract people, or like me, I have my own business, so you have to share what it is it costs to work with you. So what for you is difficult about this?
Yeah. Setting the price that is going to be, decent for you, but also not too much to get the job, right? Like, you don't want to lowball it.
Yeah.
The side work that I do is voiceover, so there's a huge range in price for that,
Right. So setting your fees and feeling comfortable mm-hmm. about them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Especially when they can vary for job to job.
Sure.
You're estimating something, but it's really a lot of, not as much hours that it takes as it is the expertise of the talent. Or
right.
In one case, like the voice is going to be used for a couple of years, right?
So right. Okay. Yeah. Oh, you mean actually asking for the payment?
Yeah. Like, I mean, like, all of a sudden we calculated, like, it took that much time. We didn't estimate, but it's like,
right.
It's kind of like, then I always kind of go, well, I'm too much of a professional, so we'll charge them the hour. So I basically cut my fee in half.
So it's worrying about the fees. It's like worrying, am I worth these fees?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so this is that scary thing of our worth. Yes?
I would say to brush on a little bit and expand upon that. It's not being asked
really that mindset. And I know when you say that, we all know exactly what you mean, right? It's that kind of cringy thing inside, like, can I really ask for this? Yeah. Yeah.
The idea that if they don't agree to that amount, then you have to be willing to perhaps walk away.
Be willing to walk away. That's scary. Yeah. Okay. What else? Yeah. Go on. So nice, aren't we? Right. So we have one male in the group. Doesn't quite hold it properly. So what I was going to say is we have one male in the group, and what I know from a lot of my research is that a lot of men don't feel so uncomfortable about asking their fees. There's a kind of confidence that, you know, that's, so we know that in general, men happen to be more comfortable assuming that negotiation is part of the deal, whereas women tend not to, and Sharon's going to talk more about that. So yeah, we have that fear factor. Yeah. So
if you're hiring somebody, exactly what are you going to accomplish?
Okay.
If I'm buying a thing from somebody, what's your warranty? How good is the warranty? How's it stacked up?
Okay. So we're talking about money. So you're saying from the perspective of asking for what you're getting.
Yeah.
Okay. Asking for what's included.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, great. So, being willing to sell yourself or your services. Yeah. So we could say that's communication, and we could also say that's selling, which might feel different. Okay. So, Sharon, you want to jump in here?
So, I'm jumping in. Do you think this list is unique just to this particular group? Well, it's a no. Okay, we've agreed on that. So it means that other professional women would have a very similar kind of list. So then the question that I'm always interested in is, why is that? So I think I think about three factors that really do shape the issues that show up on a flip chart and show up in our lives. So, the metaphor I'm going to use is as though we have a belt on that we're sort of born with. It's just the way we show up. We have this belt. And then when we think about the culture and the norms that really affect us as women, what we ask for when we speak up or when we don't speak up, and so the belt tightens one notch, right? So now a little more constriction there. And I think the second thing is just the economic weather, and the financial industry and all the institutions have pretty much been created by men. It's not really our language. It isn't something that we necessarily feel passionately interested in. I mean, I don't know if you know many men who love investing and who are just intrigued and talk about it, and you ask them about it. Maybe not. That's a bit of a generalization. So now our belt, another notch. Now we have a little more constriction. The third thing, I wonder what that third thing is. It's really the root of all this and so much that affects us in this world, and that is our personal narrative. It's the families we grew up in, those messages, and believe it or not, they're still showing up in our lives today. Yeah. So, what's next on our list? That was my piece.
So, what we need to do, right, is figure out some ways to feel more comfortable and to loosen up, so to speak, that belt, that tightness, that constriction. And so I've worked with a lot of men and women to help them remember who they are and what their worth is. I've found that there are a few things that can really help us to remember. So what I'd like is for you to either, if you have a pen and paper, or we have paper here. So who needs some paper? We're going to have you do some writing. So here's some, pass those around. Anybody here need paper? So, everybody got something to write with and write on? Need a pen? Sharon? Oh. Pen? Great. All right, so what I would ask you to do is write down what value you bring with your service. So what are you proud about, right? What do you offer that brings value? Uh-huh. What value do you bring to your clients, okay, your contracts? Start making a list. Sometimes it's really easy to look on one level at what we do, but then if you think even further, I help people figure out their careers, but that affects so many levels of their lives. Okay. Okay, that's good to know. I think that section. Do you want me to repeat what I just said?
Yes,
to write down what it is, what the value is of what you do, what the value is to your clients, your contract. Yeah. And you could also think about what your skills are. Make a list of your skills. That might be different than the value. Like, you might be just a wonderful communicator or contact connector, right? And while you're doing this, you might also think about what accomplishments are in the mix of all of this. And sometimes that's a great way to look at the value that you bring, and sometimes it's a great way to look at those skills. So accomplishments that you're really, really feeling good about. So this is a list that you can continue to work on. And honestly, if there's a day that you're feeling kind of not so strong in what it is you do or what you're proud of, like, pull this list out. Have it at the ready. It's like a long time ago, somebody I worked with said, always keep a file of all of the thank you notes you receive, right? Or testimonials, collect them. Like, all of that stuff, we need that. We really need that. So I'm going to pass out this. I'm not going to pass out. I'm going to distribute. That was a joke. Come on. Yeah, really. Sorry, that's the wrong one. I thought mine were all in one stack. Sorry. This got separated.
Okay, we have.
They're not. They've been put together.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, we'll.
Hang on. We need to separate those, or you can hold on to those. Yeah, they've got one of each. Okay. So I'm going to hand out a document for you to use. So what this is talking about is. So, when you're talking about yourself, no, it's just one sheet. There you go. When we're talking about ourselves, and where did mine go? Thank you. And we're doing some sort of negotiation. And I need some more of this for the other folks. Okay. Technical difficulties. It's really important that we know what we want and why we want it. So we have to be clear in ourselves, right? And I want to make sure everybody over here can hear me okay. We need to know our why. We're worth it. Are you still missing some over there? Are there extra copies anywhere? Okay. Apparently we're short. Will you share? We'll get more copies. So it's really important we know our why and what it is we want. Why we're worth it. That's what we were just working on, right? Knowing our value. If you're negotiating and it's about a job, it's important to know what the salary is, right? If you're talking about negotiating to take a job, is anybody here looking at taking a job, or is it most, okay, here's one. So, or get a raise in a current job, right? So, but I know a lot of us are freelancers or business owners, right? So then we have, how do we sell ourselves? We don't want to undersell ourselves. So you need to do your research, right, to know your market value. So it is tricky, but we have to be 100% behind ourselves. Then, you know, in the case of a job or an increase, what else can you negotiate on, right? So sometimes there are other flexible areas that you can negotiate. So the main thing is to practice, to be comfortable when you're speaking your number. And I know when I raised my rates over the years, I've been doing this a long time, and I started at a very low rate, and I was comfortable with that rate. And at a certain point, I had to become comfortable with a higher rate. Because if I'm not comfortable with it, or at least able to squeak it out of my mouth, right, that it's not going to work. So we have to practice. Yeah?
What about raising your rates? Because, like, I have one client who's, like, been my client for a really long time, and I haven't raised his rates in a long time because
Yeah.
It's still worth it for me to do the work for him, you know? So I'm still giving him the same price after all these years just because he always paid it.
So what we'll do is we'll come back and have an opportunity to do Q&A. But one of the things you might want to think about, because we're going to have a practice in a little bit, and so Sharon's going to share her part of this in terms of another kind of communication, but you get to choose what you want to practice tonight. And maybe that's something you want to practice. So, okay.
Okay.
Sharon, you've got...
All right, so another handout. Should have divided these up, huh? So maybe I can get some help from you, Daisy, too. Thank you. Yeah, there we go. Rachel, my new glasses. Did we end up having enough for everyone?
No, we didn't.
Almost? If not, you can email Daisy or me, and we can make sure that you get another one. So this one has a circle on the top. So when we do our breakout groups of three for you to do some rehearsing, one of your options is to think about the speaking up that needs to happen in your personal relationships. So that's what this sheet is about. And I'm going to start in the middle. That's an interesting place to begin, isn't it? So in bold and like in the middle of the page, starting with number 6, I'm going to recommend when we have our breakout groups, if you choose to look at personal relationships, that you use like 6 through 10 for your practice. So that's what we're going to end up with. But now let's go to the top of the page. And what I did was I thought about all the different things that are financially related that you may need to speak up about. Maybe things that you've been putting off. So there's a pretty long list here. But that's number 1. Now, just because I put all those interesting, stressful items down, you may have something that you really want to have a serious conversation with someone about that isn't on that list. Great, go for it. This is a room full of creative people and communicators, so make this work for you. Now, here's the second part, is who would you have that conversation with? And in my heart of hearts, I would love to see you have a courageous conversation about money with everyone on this list. If you are co-inhabiting, are you still hearing me there? Okay. Spouse, significant other, or some other kind of cohabiting situation. Let's just think about the conversation that you may be putting off. And you don't have to say what it is, but does anybody have a... I see some heads nodding. Oh, and more heads nodding. Yes, there. This is a conversation I need to have. So I'm going to make sure I get my statistics right. I'm really making sure that I get the stats right. So what we know is from studies, a lot of these are surveys, but I've very carefully vetted them, is that 40% of couples never talk about money before they're married. And you might not be surprised that couples who have arguments about money more than once a week are 30% more likely to, what do you think, be divorced, of course. And one of the top three reasons always is financial incompatibility around divorce. That's the other scary kind of thing. Oh, here's the good news. Couples who do have frequent conversations about money report that they have stronger, happier relationships. So this is a biggie. If you're cohabiting, I hope you have this conversation. And we know, is it easy? No. If it was, we would be having them in a regular kind of way. So this may be one of those topics that you choose to talk about this evening. Okay, what's next on the list? Family. So with family, I just have a story to tell you that just came up with a friend of mine. When she learned that I was a money coach, she told me about a situation that she was in with her mother who passed away. Before that time, she was elderly, living out of state, but they had frequent conversations. She felt her mom was really doing great. She became ill pretty suddenly. But before that, she told, I'm going to call her Kay, that she had everything organized. She had her will. She had her power of attorney. Everything was in a particular drawer. And Kay seems to think that she looked in that drawer at one time and felt, yes, she knew her mother was very conscientious. So her mother passed. As an executor of the estate, she did everything she needed to do. At the same time, she's grieving. She has 9 months to get information to an accountant that she chose to find out what estate taxes might be due. During this long 9-month period, she would every now and then check in with the accountant saying, do we have this number yet? No, wasn't really good at getting back to her, but finally he did. But when he called back, it was 2 days before the estate taxes were due. So he explained that her name was not on the deed of her mother's condo. And what that meant was she had 2 days to get $17,000. Yeah. So have you ever heard of a story similar to this? Yes. Or I hope it hasn't happened within your family. But it just is so common. So that's another reason that for families, for parents, that's the reason I put parents first on that list. And next are kids. I loved looking at these studies. So in families where there are both genders with kids, do you think there's any difference in the way that the parents are talking to their kids about money? Is your guess? What's your guess? More talk. And this is now. I mean, no, this wasn't when we were growing up that, yeah. So that shows up in studies. This was a good one. So this was a study like with 10,000 kids. This is through an app called, I think, Biz Kids. They were looking at allowances that kids got, and this particular cohort was ages 8 to 14. Do you think there was any difference in the allowances that they got? This is a setup, right? Yeah. Any guess about what that difference might be? 50%. So the boys were paid 50% more allowances than the girls. I think this is partly the root, these two stats about income inequality still going on. And a lot of this is unconscious. Remember the personal narrative part. I mean, this is sort of showing up. Yes. Well, this is on average from these, yeah. This was a very large survey, and because it was an online thing, they managed to get a lot of data, and that's what came out. So I have a book. Is Blair here? No, I don't think so. So this is an amazing book. It's here for you to take a look at. So even if you don't have kids, if there's somebody within your family who has kids, or find a kid, but this is Make Your Kid a Money Genius, even if you aren't. And this starts at age 3. And I don't think but wouldn't it have been amazing if we had the structure, the information, the values, and all that imparted to us at an early age? Yeah. So what else is on our list? Yeah, are you following me here? Number 2, person, family, friend. Have you ever had an uncomfortable conversation when you're going out to dinner with a friend or deciding sort of what to do with a check? No? None of you have had that problem. Okay, good. Well, if you ever will, There is a wonderful app that I'm learning a lot of people are using. Have you heard of Splitwise? It's the way that you can decide how to split. I don't know. I haven't used it yet, but I've had at least three different people tell me about Splitwise. And even when you have a group dinner, you can use that and it figures it out some magical way. I don't know, some algorithm that I certainly do not know anything about. Sometimes the courageous conversation that needs to happen is if you have a friend and there's a big income diversity there. Yeah, I have some nods here, some nods. It's like, how do you manage that? And so do you have the courage to manage it? It is the elephant in the room. So why not say, this is really uncomfortable for me. How can we manage this? Because the friendship and the connection is too important just to pretend like that this isn't the case. One of the suggestions is that you let the person with who's really on the tight budget to be the one who decides on the restaurant, if there's any kind of traveling that's going on and all that. So that's one way to approach that. But it's something you must work out with that friend if you really want to deepen and the intimacy in a relationship. Same thing if you're cohabiting. It is around intimacy. Professionals, oh my, you know, I've been in this business for 30 years, and I'm ashamed in many ways about the way that professionals, I don't even want to say approach, respond to women. So I have a good friend, happens to be in San Francisco. She's a smart businesswoman, very savvy about money. She has a great husband. They went in to talk about their portfolio with a very smart national company. And here's the representative, and the three of them are sitting and talking. Who did the representative look at almost the entire time? Again, these are all setups. You know. Absolutely, he was, and he did sort of manage to glance over every now and then. But that is still going on. And because she's so feisty, she spoke up about it. And she said, do you realize what has been happening in this conversation? It's like I might as well not even be here. So the professionals, they need some speaking up too and some courageous conversations. So if that's something, and not just that situation, but if you have an accountant, if you have an attorney, if you have a financial planner, these are all opportunities for you to speak up. They need to hear from us. Otherwise, they're just going to keep doing what they keep doing. And I'm a big fan of being a certified financial planner because I am one and have been for many years. But if you decide that you want to work with a female financial planner, 80% of the people in financial services and financial planners are men. So you need to look a bit. But that, again, is a reflection that I certainly hope shifts as time goes on, right? Okay, that's pretty much the top two. So if you choose to have a speaking up conversation in our breakout groups, you can use this as a guideline. And the three of you that Daisy's going to line us up here, but one person may be talking about negotiating issues, another person of those three might be talking about personal relationships, right? Mix it up. What do you think? We didn't really decide that.
What we would like to see is that you, yourself, and two other people make up a group of three, and we haven't given a count to see how this all shakes out, but we'll work it out. So the idea is that one person gets to be in a one-on-one conversation with you, and the other person gets to watch, right? And you're going to go around, everybody's going to get a chance to try out their conversation. So maybe it's a negotiation about fees, or a statement, shall we say, about fees, or maybe it's one of those uncomfortable conversations with a loved one. So you get to think through for yourself first what the scenario is going to be, and then you get to try it out. So we're going to time this. So we're going, we're going to give everybody 5 minutes, which may or may not sound like a long time, to do your spiel, and then we're going to shift. And I did mean to bring my chime, and I didn't, so I'm going to use this to let you know. It's a wine bottle. So I'm going to let you know when to shift to the next person. And then we're also going to give you the opportunity to debrief a little bit together.
And Daisy, I just sort of went too fast. I'd like to take a couple minutes for people to write on their sheet too about...
Yeah, everybody's going to have a chance to write, period. We'll give everybody...
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Good.
Because I don't think anybody's really written down what they want to talk about yet.
Okay.
Yeah. So why don't you take a moment to think about what you want to talk about, what your conversation is going to be that you're going to practice, whether it's that familial or relationship or more of a professional situation. Anybody have any questions? Five minutes
okay.
for one person.
And so are we creating like a mock negotiation?
Yeah.
Or having the other two people role play, family members? Or
only one person. It's going to be one-on-one, and one person is watching.
Okay, got it. Okay.
Yeah. And then at the end, we'll have an opportunity to debrief.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Since they were negotiating for a raise or for money, do you have any kind of outline beyond this? I want to talk about having this as important to me because...
No, so that's where you get to, using that list of what your value is, that would be on that other sheet, right?
Okay.
Right, so knowing what you want to ask for, and you may not have done the research to know right now what it is that you're going to be asking for, so you're going to have to sort of wing that, right? So just take a moment now to think about what you're going to say, and then... When you're ready, we're going to have you join with two other people, all of you. So you know how it went in your three-person group. But it will be helpful for everybody else to hear what worked, what was hard, what helped you get over what was hard, what stayed hard. So who wants to share how this process was for you? You want to, Sharon? I just called you Sharon. Sorry, Faye.
So I was pretty dubious about doing this. I've been developing a business for 4 years, and I am looking for partners, investors, co-founders, and how to value a business. Oh, okay. So the conversation that I was having was with a potential co-founder or partner or investor in a business I've been developing. So how do I value the business and how do I stand behind the value of the business? And it went surprisingly well. First of all, the two people asked good questions and why I wanted... a partner and what I was looking for. But just before the conversation, I had written down everything I view as real assets in the business and really wrote it down like, wow, these are serious assets in this business. And so I actually rolled out a percentage of the company and a price quite objectively. It surprised me. It was good.
So who else wants to share? Thank you, Faye. That's really helpful. So maybe somebody who it wasn't so easy for. Oh, no.
Sure.
Yeah?
Might not be The thing that I noticed, and I'm going to just talk about my experience, was that when I set the stage of what I was going to talk about, how confident I was, my tone, my pace was great. As soon as I started practicing, my body language changed, my voice went up a little bit, I stopped and I missed some of the points that I wanted to make, and instead talked about some of the girly things, well, how the feelings were and who can do this, and it was less objective and more, less objective, more subjective. So getting really clear with my message, writing it out before I go and have this conversation so that I can process the feelings and then go in with the business perspective was a big insight.
Yeah, great. Thank you. Yeah, I don't know if I put this on the sheet. I was working with a client at one point who was going from being a real estate salesperson to starting his own interior design company, and he felt so uncomfortable about charging. You know, it's a new structure. And I told him, you know, we just need to make a rate sheet. Talk to the sheet, you know? It's like the talk to the hand thing. Once you got the sheet, oh, well, here's the information. It's not about you, right? So, who else? What else did you find? Or maybe if you want to talk about listening to other people, what you heard and what you noticed, just even listening. Thank you.
So I actually literally have something tomorrow that I'm negotiating, so I presented it to the group. So I had to give context first. So instead, we didn't do exactly what you said.
Oh my God.
But I think it was really good because I personally felt a lot of valuable things that I learned in talking to them. And for example, going in tomorrow and saying, what are you willing to pay? Then it is not like the hourly thing. It's like, what are you willing to pay? I like that. Nancy's got it. I'm like drawing a blank. Yeah. What is your budget? Yeah, that was good. Right. And so that was just some good stuff. Because, I mean, as we all know, in Santa Barbara, it's very difficult to negotiate a lot of things because people don't pay a lot. I mean, unless it's something that they don't know about or something. But it's hard. It's hard to survive here. And so it's just good to, like, what can we do for each other? And that's kind of what it's all about. Sometimes you have to take a hit with money, per se, to do something that I personally feel like this will grow me as a person. It's fortunate. It's not all about money for me right now. But anyways, it was a good practice for all of us because Nancy worked through something and Hattie, but then Nina, we talked because she's not a contractor, so then we brought in like what she does. So it was good.
Thanks, Monica.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking up. Anyone else? Del?
Did you want to?
I think what I was thinking is that, and this ties to what you were saying about how we tend to worry about that publishing house or that, you know, what the other side of the story is, and just the idea that sometimes I'm thinking there needs to be this longer conversation. I need to have these things seen and measured, and maybe that's really not the case. Maybe there's just sort of a bottom line, and it's short and sweet, and that's part of valuing my time, too, is not being in a long conversation about something. I've done it, pay for it. If that's not happening, I'm moving on. So I think that was sort of one of my takeaways, is I tend to just keep a situation alive, sometimes a lot longer maybe than it needs to. Yeah. And that's actually, there's recognizing the power in that is important.
So maybe that's like that willing to walk away thing.
Yeah.
Or not even willing to walk away, but just deciding that you're actually driving that.
Right, right. That sounds like a very empowered position to be in. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, right. Thank you. Anyone else? How was it speaking up, period? Anybody
liberating.
Just... What?
Liberating.
Liberating. I have the feeling for some people it's a little scary to begin with, but maybe not. Maybe not... Coming up with the words. Does anybody resonate with that?
And was there any inspiration that you feel you got from someone else? Yeah. Oh, okay. That's a good one. Put that one in your pocket. All right. Oh, yes. All right.
We got
high
fives
going here. That's great. So I think we can finish up. Daisy, what do you think?
Yeah, well, I'm curious about what, you know, I was talking with somebody earlier about how, you know, you usually walk out remembering one thing, and maybe you won't even know what that one thing will be right now, but if there's something in particular that you would be sure to practice, either with a loved one or in a professional setting, what do you think that would be? You were going to tell somebody, oh, I learned in the future I'm going to do this. Yeah?
Be clear on the goal of the conversation you're going to have. You might think that you're clear on the goal and that you definitely to have the conversation. And obviously, we wouldn't all be here if we didn't want to have these conversations. But once you get going and all of these fears start incorporating themselves into the conversation, you can really easily lose track about what you're trying to bring up in the first place. So I think if there's one thing I can take away tonight, it's know exactly what you're trying to talk about and stick to that.
Yeah. Did everybody hear what she said? Yeah. Yeah?
Okay, what if somebody told me that we're going to any kind of conversation, we were talking about negotiating salary or title, knowing when you're walking away, and you might not get your way, and so when are you going to be like, okay, thank you, sir, and you just like shrink back to your cubicle, or when are you going to be like, oh, this is my moment, like, and when you're okay to pull that up for and walk away, to that.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, and I would say, you know, this is certainly with my clients, there are times I'll just say, it's okay to say, I need to think about this. Right? I'm sure everybody here has had that moment where it's like, I need to step away. I need to sleep on this. Right? So if you're ever feeling pushed, as soon as you start to feel that, that's where you get to say, I need more time. Yeah. Absolutely. Translating your skill sets or those accomplishments. I know I work on resumes all the time to help people make that transition.
No charge.
But one thing that I wanted to say, because I thought it was interesting, what I heard you just say is, I can do that. And there's a kind of an over-eagerness. Like, I can do that. Like, I'll do anything, right? And if we can, take a step back and get a little more settled in ourselves and not be quite so ready to jump in and, you know, let me do it. And in that jumping in, one, devaluing ourselves, right? And like me, I'll do whatever you need, right? That puts us in a less empowered position. But if we're willing to step back and go, I've got the stuff, and this is based in real, you know, knowing your stuff and feeling confident, and coming to a more neutral kind of place. You know what I mean? Like, it's a little more, I have what you need. Let me talk to you about it. As opposed to, let me do it.
Thank you.
And that's not going to serve you very well to go there, right? And also, there are several photographers here, right? I mean, everybody has an iPhone with a camera in it now, you know? And we know that being a photographer is a lot more than just snapping a photo, right?
So they come from a larger market and then moved here, and so sometimes, like in Los Angeles, you're getting something and you're paid this and worth it there, and while people see your value here, this is like a market 200 in my business. Mm.
Well, I can tell you in general, I work with clients all over the place. And I hear the same stuff from everybody. You know, it's.
You mean other markets?
Hmm, yeah. I mean, you know, so wherever you are, you have to know this skill set. You have to know it wherever you are, how to present yourself. So, yes, maybe there are a lot of specific challenges in Santa Barbara, but you could go to another town or another city and still run up against the same stuff.
So we're
just about up for time, I think, right? Yeah.
Well.
You're saying he doesn't want people to have the... transparency. Most places don't have transparency. No. So there are, you know, we have places like Glassdoor.com or Salary.com. So those are the places, you know, and some associations will have their own salary surveys. And talking to your peeps, you know, finding out how's it going and hopefully having a good enough money conversation with the people in your world so you can ask, you know, what sort of rates are you getting? And being able to share that information. But you have to do your homework. If you're talking about your fees or your salary and you want to renegotiate, you have to know what, you know, and I do that with friends of mine who are therapists or other coaches. I look at data every now and then just to know where I am. So, yeah, it's our job. We have to know, right? And you have to know what you're comfortable with. and be flexible if it's appropriate. I mean, sure, absolutely. There's always negotiables, you know. Yeah. I have people who have started jobs and then they have, you know, 6 months later, they'll say, can we renegotiate in 6 months instead of 1 year? That sort of thing. Or 3 months instead of 6 months. So I'm confused. I thought we were done at 7:15. Go to, oh, okay. So, yes, so, yeah, I think we can. Thank you so much, everybody, for participating.